Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the program wholly dedicated to the Word of God. Your speaker is Evangelist John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. And you will perhaps recall in our last broadcast to you, we spoke of at least two eternal things. And as a matter of fact, we pointed out some six, and I shall go over them once again, however, merely that they might be fresh in your mind. We spoke on the eternal God, that's Deuteronomy 33, and verse 27, the eternal Son, that is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, and also in the Gospel by St. John, chapter 1 and verse 1, that says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." He's spoken of as the Word. And then we're going to say something now about the eternal Spirit. And you can put this passage down. It's found in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 14, and I shall read it to you. It goes like this: "How much more then shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living and true God?" And then we're going to say something about the eternal purpose. That is to say, God has plans and purposes that are present, but he also has eternal purposes. And you would find that in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. And also, we have the eternal Word. You could find that in the Gospel by St. Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. And then we have eternal life. If you were to turn to John chapter 3 and read verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have," now note the words, "but have eternal life." However, let's say something now about the eternal Spirit. You see, we've been bringing before you the Trinity, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. Now, the speaker makes bold to say that there never would be a man, there never would be a person ever really, truly saved apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God. For instance, if you were to turn to the Gospel by St. John, chapter 16, and if you were to read there at verse 7, you would come across this statement: "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter," that is the Holy Spirit, "will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, this is the purpose for which God is sending the eternal Spirit into the world. And he tells us that when he is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Oh, I tell you, I thank God for the gift of his Son. That's gift, surely, number one. I thank God for the gift of his Holy Spirit. And then, certainly, I thank God for the gift of his precious, holy, and unerring Word. And we'd like to say something about that, and perhaps we will a little later on, if God permits. And then, of course, of the gift of eternal life to all who trust his blessed Son. Now, as we were about to say a little ago, it's doubtful if ever a man or a woman would be saved apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, after our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he rose again the third day, and his resurrection ministry was confined to chosen apostles, his own, as a matter of fact. He conveyed to them the secrets of his heart and what he expected to do and what has been being carried out from then up until the present time. But he further told them about purposes, the purposes of his that are eternal. However, he said to them, "Tarry ye here in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now, 50 days exactly, 50 days after the resurrection, or 10 days after, you see, he accompanied with his saints for 40 days and then ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high, but promised them that he would send the Holy Spirit of God. And that he would empower them to witness for him in a scene where he is still despised and rejected. And although they possessed knowledge, although they possessed outstanding gifts, there was one thing they must have, and that is they must have power. The power of the Holy Spirit of God to witness for Christ. And so we further say that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God, not a sinner, not a son or a daughter of Adam's race could possibly be reached or saved. Now his work then, as we read to you from the Gospel by St. John, is to convict the world of sin. Now even if men do not read their Bibles, the Spirit of God has access to that heart of yours, and he can convict you of your guilt and of your sin. He can convict you of the fact that you're a creature of God and hence a creature of eternity, and that you will have to have dealings with God, the Most High God, either in time or in eternity. And the speaker well remembers in his history when the Spirit of God knocked at his heart's door, the Spirit of God convicted him of sin and of the consequences of living a life of sin and rejecting the Christ of God. You see, we are responsible creatures, responsible to God for our actions, responsible for our behavior. You see, we are not merely free moral agents, as sometimes folks would like to think, but God, by His Spirit, deals with hearts and deals with consciences to the end that He might convict men and women of sin. In other words, we are all sinners by nature. We are sinners by practice. You know, I would be sorry, extremely sorry for myself, for you, and for anyone, if I could only tell you that we are sinners by nature and sinners by practice, and that's the end of it. No, I can tell you that God sent His eternal Son to make provision, to put away that sin, and then He sent the eternal Spirit into the world to convict men and women of their guilt and of their sin, so that they may be made conscious of the fact that as they are, as we are in nature, we are unfit for the presence of God, and hence we need the Savior. Oh, thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. And let me stress it again, the eternal Spirit, and He's still in the world. He's working today in this world. You see, the world is in rebellion today. Lawlessness abounds on every hand, not only in this our country, the best country in the world, but there is worldwide rebellion and lawlessness. And will you be surprised if I tell you that according to Holy Scriptures, things are going to wax worse and worse? We're not going to reach a utopia when everybody will be perfectly satisfied and perfectly happy and have all that they want. Listen, a man can never be satisfied, thoroughly satisfied, happy and divinely happy until he opens that heart of his and invites the Savior in. And if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and the Spirit of God is dealing with you, oh, say to Him, will you today, into my heart, Lord Jesus, into my heart to stay. And let me stress once again that money cannot satisfy, that pleasure does not satisfy, the joys of earth are fleeting, and they leave one sad, and they leave one empty. And so we so often have to say in the language of the poet, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me, there's life and peace and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. And should we be speaking today to an aching heart, an empty heart, a heavy heart, a burdened heart, we're glad to tell you that there is the peace giver, the peace bringer, that one who would like to give you happiness, yes, even joy. And you know, in the epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 5, in writing to the saints at Rome, he could say, we joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And every man, every woman who has accepted Christ as a convicted sinner, one who owns that his sins would separate him from God forever, apart from the merits, apart from the work of the Lord Jesus, That person who comes to the Son of God and trusts Him as such, his heart will be filled immediately with the joy of salvation, with the happiness that God alone can give. David experienced it, and others have experienced it. You see, the psalmist could say, "Happy is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose transgressions are covered." That person is a happy person who knows that his sins are eternally gone. And then another thing I should like to tell you too is the fact that once a forgiven sinner, that brings to me what we're going to say a little about, perhaps if we can work it in, a little about eternal security, eternal salvation. And so if the Spirit of God has been knocking at your heart's door, seeking entrance, seeking access, oh, why not say yes to the Savior today, while He so tenderly pleads? Now will you think for just one moment in rapid succession? We'll think of the eternal purpose, and if you were to turn to the Epistle to the Ephesians and read there in that third chapter and verse 11, you'd come across an amazing statement that goes like this: according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, we could lay plan and we could have purposes, and these purposes all miscarry. But God's purposes, not one of those purposes can ever fail. Because, you see, He tells us that in the 13th chapter of the Gospel by St. Mark, and I think we reminded of you of that one, and I trust that you put it down, the 13th chapter of St. Mark, and in that 31st verse we read this precious and amazing statement: "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." In other words, we are glad and we're happy to be able to tell you that that which emanates from God, that which comes from Him, is eternal, eternal. That eternal word produces in the life of all who trust our blessed Savior, who trust our Lord Jesus Christ, it produces instantaneous and, thank God, eternal life. Would you like to see that? Would you like to see a passage that would confirm it? Well, all you have to do is to turn to the Word of God. And if you turn to the Gospel by St. Mark, and the Gospel by St. John, the Gospel by St. Luke, as well as the Gospel by St. Matthew, you would find again and again those precious truths that tell us that all who trust Christ as Savior have now, here in this world, eternal life. Listen, will you then, to this wonderful verse that is in St. John 3:15 that says, "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have," that's present possession, "have eternal life." And then three times over it's spoken of in this wonderful third chapter. Take, for instance, in the 36th verse it says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." And again you might turn to the fifth chapter of the same wonderful gospel and read there, verse 24, that says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth Him that sent Me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." May God then bring before you in a very special way the things that are eternal, the things that will endure when sense and time are no more. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Drop us a line, please. If you enjoyed what you've been listening to, and if you desire further help, we are available. This address reaches J.A. Horn, 817 South 7th Street, Atchison, Kansas, 66002.